Mr. Mack, which has been sent also to the mayor, that he's submitted his letter of resignation effective immediately due to health challenges. And I think at a future time, we're going to be acknowledging his service here. I received a letter today. I want to share that for the record and also for my colleagues here. The date is March 9th, so we'll do something more formal, but I did want to read that into the record today. All right, welcome staff. We're going to hear item number 11, which is case number CPC 2016-4520-CA, environmental case number ENV 2016-4521-CE, citywide, affecting all districts. It's a code amendment to modify provisions pertaining to protected trees. And please also note, staff has submitted a technical correction dated March 21st, 2018 to commissioners, which you should have in your packet, or not in your packet, but in your pile next to your packet. With that, colleagues, how long will we need to present on this item?
I think about 9 minutes.
Okay, if you need more time, we'll accommodate this important item and look forward to the presentation. Please proceed.
Good morning. I'm Patrick Whalen with the Department of City Planning, Code Studies Division, presenting an ordinance that would extend the same protections that are afforded to protected trees to two species of indigenous shrubs, the toyon and Mexican elderberry. The proposed ordinance primarily adds to and updates the current regulations for protected trees. The city has had some form of protected tree legislation since 1982, when the Native Oak Protection Ordinance went into effect. In 2006, the city passed an ordinance to also protect the Southern California black walnut, western sycamore, and California bay trees, creating the list of protected trees that is currently in effect. The proposed ordinance seeks to further expand the number of protected plant species by granting protected status to two species of shrub, the Mexican elderberry and the toyon. Although the toyon and Mexican elderberry shrubs are not trees, they can grow very large and become significant landscape features. They are native to Los Angeles, drought tolerant, and fire resilient, making them excellent plants for controlling hillside erosion and critical components of local ecosystems. The toyon, which was named the official native plant of Los Angeles in 2012, is a shrub with bright red berries and is sometimes referred to as the California holly. It has been rumored that Hollywood was named after the toyon plant due to its prevalence in the Hollywood Hills. While this is not necessarily true, the myth alone speaks to the shrub's cultural and historic importance in the city. The toyon was also important to local Native American tribes and is one of the few native Californian plants that has retained its Native American name. The toyon also holds ecological value in that it helps to control erosion and provides food and shelter to native animals. Representing just 0.2% of the local urban forest, the toyon is limited in number and thus worthy of protection. Similarly, the Mexican elderberry, which represents only 0.6% of the local urban forest population, is also ecologically and culturally significant in the city of Los Angeles. The shrub provides ground cover for small mammals and birds and is known to attract at least 50 species of songbirds, upland game birds, and small mammals. The Mexican elderberry was also used by local Native American tribes, and elderberries are still used to this day for culinary and alternative medicinal purposes. Native species only account for 16% of the urban forests in Los Angeles. Local forests have been devastated by disease in recent years. This has been exacerbated by the presence of monoculture, which is defined as large numbers of the same species located in close proximity to each other. The key to avoiding monocultures is species diversity, which is why it is important to not only protect the four species of tree currently on the protected trees list, but also to protect the shrubs that grow underneath and near them. The most important component of the ordinance proposed for your consideration is the extension of protected status to the Mexican elderberry and toyon shrubs. These shrubs would receive the same protections that are given to trees on the current list of protected trees. To accommodate their addition, the list of protected trees is proposed to become the list of protected trees and shrubs. In addition to granting protected status to two species of shrub, the proposed ordinance also makes minor modifications to the existing protected tree regulations. One such change is to refine the definition of a tree expert. A tree expert is currently defined as someone who has 4 years of experience being one of the following: a certified arborist with the International Society of Arboriculture who holds a license as an agricultural pest advisor or a landscape architect, or a registered consulting arborist with the American Society of Consulting Arborists. Urban Forestry has advised staff that applicants frequently take the position that credentials of one professional can be combined with the credentials of another to meet the required years of experience and or the areas of expertise. According to Urban Forestry, this has led to tree reports that are sometimes of a lesser quality. To address this problem, the proposed amendment stipulates that a tree expert must individually meet one of the three criteria established for tree experts. Additionally, the ordinance requires that landscape architects also be certified arborists with the International Society of Arboriculture in order to qualify as a tree expert. These two requirements will result in higher quality tree reports, which will in turn result in a healthier, more sustainable urban forest. With the current regulations, a tree must have a cumulative trunk diameter of 4 inches, measured 4.5 feet above the ground, in order to count as a protected specimen. Cumulative measurement affects mainly black walnuts, which grow with multiple trunks. This means that a tree with 5 trunks, each just measuring 1 inch in diameter, would be counted as a protected tree. Per the advice of Urban Forestry, the proposed ordinance requires that at least one trunk or stem must measure 4 inches in diameter, 4.5 feet above the ground, to rise to the level of a significant tree or shrub that qualifies for protected status. According to Urban Forestry, trees or shrubs smaller than this size do not rise to the level of significance required for protected status. The proposed ordinance will increase the replacement ratio from 2 trees planted for every one that is removed to 4 trees or shrubs to be planted for every one that is removed. The ordinance also stipulates that trees may only be replaced with trees and shrubs may only be replaced with shrubs. This change was recommended by Urban Forestry to codify Board of Public Works practice and to help ensure that at least one of the trees will survive, since newly planted trees often struggle for the first couple of years. The proposed change also helps restore the tree canopy and ground cover at a faster rate to restore the natural ecosystem. Finally, the increased replacement requirement may deter unnecessary removal of protected trees and shrubs. This concludes today's presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions about the proposed code amendment or this presentation at this time. Staff from Urban Forestry is also here today and is also available to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to open up the public testimony. For those who filled out a speaker card, we'll now be able to address the commission with their thoughts. Each person will have a minute to do so, and then we'll have any elected offices speak. At this time, let me ask Yujian Chen, Andrew Laskin, Joanne D'Antonio. Joanne, let's have you go last because you're part of a neighborhood council, I believe. Snowdy Dodson, come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Yujian Chen. I'm representing Tree People. So Tree People supports the proposed code amendment because we believe tree protection is vital to ensure the desired benefits and the ecosystem services provided by our forest and the trees in the city. For example, the urban cooling effects, carbon sequestration, stormwater mitigation, and public health and well-being benefits. Meanwhile, we strongly recommend the following item to be considered or clarified in the amendments. First of all, the definition and clarification are needed for the trees planted and growing as part of a tree planting program in the clause of the definition should not include any tree or shrub growing or held for sale by a licensed nursery or trees planted for growing as part of a tree planting program. Thank you. In section two.
Thank you. I'm sure staff will respond to that. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Snowdy Dodson. I'm with the California Native Plant Society. I did submit a letter to you. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. My main concern is the urban forestry new requirement that trees that are naturally growing with multiple trunks and stuff like that would not be allowed it to be, the measurement is out of whack, guys. We've gotta allow for the fact that these naturally growing trees do have multiple trunks. We need to lower the size of the trunk that's measured. We ought to consider conic canopy size. We ought to consider the height of the tree and the shrub. Also, we don't agree with the ratio. We should keep the ratio 2-1 because we want these trees, if they're replanted for mitigation, to survive. If you put too many on at once, they're going to crowd each other out. And
thank you.
There's more in my letter. I think this isn't ready for prime time,
thank
guys.
You.
It needs revision.
We have your letter, and I'm sure we'll hear thoughts on from staff on it. Come on up, sir. And I also have Mindy Mann next after this gentleman. Joshua Link, please approach. Go right ahead. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Andrew Laskin. I'm co-director for CLAW, Citizens for Los Angeles Wildlife. A key to our mission of protecting LA wildlife is to protect their habitat and the plants that they depend on. Thus, we fully support giving protected status to Toyon and Mexican elderberry. CLAW also supports the proposed increase in replacement requirements to 4 trees planted for every 1 removed, as well as a proposed stipulation that trees may only be replaced with trees and shrubs may only be replaced with shrubs. However, CLAW stands in strong opposition to the proposed changes to remove the cumulative measurements of multiple trunks or stems. Such a change would disqualify countless Toyon and elderberry plants and remove protection for thousands of trees that would otherwise qualify under the current ordinance. Even after being severely damaged by fire or drought, or illegal cutting for that matter, black walnut trees can resprout multiple limbs from a trunk base. These multi-stem trees are doing their jobs as trees and are just as viable as a large trunk tree. In fact, their multiple smaller stems create a different niche for the wildlife who seek cover and forage within this multi-stem trees canopy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work. Come on up. Good morning.
I'm Mindy Mann. I'm from the president from the Benedict Canyon Association. I'm also on the neighborhood council, and I also trained with tree people to be an arborist. So I urge you to pass this ordinance to add the elderberry and toyon as protected shrubs. There is one change, however, that I did not agree with. I'd like to point this out. This proposed change would weaken the protected tree ordinance by changing the way that protected trees are measured. I recommend that the 4-inch formula remain in place. Changing this formula would result in the removal of thousands of healthy trees. On a personal note, I have lived in the canyons for over 30 years and have seen a very substantial reduction in the tree canopy throughout the hillsides due to increased and oversized developments. At the same time, I've seen a decrease in wildlife in the canyons and a decrease in the variety of birds that visit my garden. This is a very sad development. Oh, that was quick. Okay.
Thank you. Sir, come on up. And before you begin, let me ask, we'll ask the last speaker I have other than the council and the neighborhood council is Frida Shen. Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Joshua Link. I'm a landscape architect. I'm also a member of the Mulholland Design Review Board. I fully support the addition of these 2 shrubs to the protected tree list. I fully agree that the removal of the word cumulative really will result in the removal of a lot more trees and will weaken the ordinance more so than it was previously. I also have found numerous botanical name errors in the proposed ordinance, and I've submitted a list to Mr. Whalen with those proposed corrections. And finally, I did want to address the replacement size requirement, which is 15 gallons and 7 feet tall or more. That might be very difficult to find shrubs of that size, especially the proposed toyon and elderberry. It also isn't necessarily the best thing for the plants, especially when they're being planted in BHO areas or hillside areas where access is very difficult to get to. And so it's actually better for the plants to be planted sooner and be able to adapt to the soil conditions rather than be in a nursery container for a very long time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll hear about those technical corrections during staff response. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Frida Shen. I'm the co-chair of Silver Lake Wildlife Sanctuary, and I am speaking for them today. I have also sent you an email which should be in your packet. The Silver Lake Wildlife Sanctuary and its members strongly support the amendment to include the Mexican elderberry and the toyon under the Protected Tree and Shrub Ordinance. However, we are also strongly opposed to changing the measurement regulation and urge a return to the cumulative measurement standard. Not only are many of the trees and shrubs coming up with multi-stems because of drought, because of fire, but also this, as someone else pointed out, provides a different niche for the different animals and birds, and it needs to be considered rather than thinking of only single trunks. Finally, we urge amendments to include vigorous enforcement of these protections through large fees, say $1,000 or more, and to include in-kind replacement of trees removed within the same council district. Thank you so much.
That's interesting, within the same council district. All right, I had a last minute speaker submit the card. John Given, come on up. Good morning, John.
Good morning, commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to speak, as always. I'm a vice president for the Hillside Federation. We submitted a letter this morning. A number of our comments were repeated by speakers already, so I don't want to focus on that. I noticed several people concerned about the cumulative size measurement in lieu of the 4-inch measurement, and it makes me wonder whether there's a hybrid that can be done of both of those. That might be something for consideration. The only point I think that our letter adds that I haven't heard this morning is perhaps we can find a way to put something in the regulation to allow alternative design considerations, so that rather than, you know, I think it has to do with the way that the city considers reasonable development on a site. Where many trees might be lost, it might be appropriate, rather than to think about, well, we'll replace them with, you know, 10 trees with 40, maybe it would be better to think about maybe there's another design that would preserve some of these trees in the first place, so we don't have to lose so many and replace them. So that's it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John. That is the last non-elected person that I have to speak, so I'm going to invite the neighborhood council representative. I have Joanne D'Antonio. Joanne, come on up. And do we have the letter in our packet, James?
We have a CIS on file for 13-1339.
I'm just wondering if we have it handed out this morning. We don't? Okay. That clarifies that question. Joanne, I'm going to put 3 minutes on the clock for you to share the council, neighborhood council's thoughts.
Okay. I'm Joanne D'Antonio. I'm also chair of the Trees Committee for the Neighborhood Council Sustainability Alliance and the sustainability representative for the Greater Valley Glen Council. Greater Valley Glen Council went on record with a CIS on Council File 13-1339 favoring the classification of the toyon and the Mexican elderberry as protected. And I do want to point out there are 40-foot toyons, even though we're calling them shrubs in this file. Since our CIS, there was a hearing at City Hall, I believe it was in January 2016, and about 29 members of the public, including myself, spoke in favor of this, and only Urban Forestry Division spoke against with a statement about tree size. It appears that Urban Forestry Division has slipped in this tree circumference change, not only for the two species candidates, but also for the existing species. This would require an EIR and would be in violation of CEQA. This change in the existing protected trees code is not what our neighborhood council supports. Let me explain. Trees naturally produce shoots at their base. To get a classic single trunk tree requires shoot pruning, which does not happen on undeveloped land. We are jeopardizing our natural environment of these fire-adapted species and relegating them to this new terminology of calling these trees shrubs, which Urban Forestry has apparently inserted throughout this protected trees amendment. We support planning that starts with the consideration of existing trees. And the enforcement of the protected trees ordinance as it is currently the law in our city. Let's add two more protected species, but in doing so, let's not give up what we have.
All right, thank you. The last speaker card I have is from the council office, I believe, CD5. Allison, Allison, I don't think we've had the pleasure. Good morning. Allison, take as much time as you need to share the councilman's thoughts. We do have the letter here, so maybe we have a preview.
So, yeah, you can read along, I guess.
I can't wait.
Allison Simard, representing Councilmember Paul Corrette. Dear Honorable Commission, thank you for taking into consideration this council file, the amendment to the Protected Tree Ordinance extending protected status to the Mexican elderberry and toyon shrubs, and update existing regulations pertaining to protected trees. Trees provide vital ecosystem services, including absorbing carbon dioxide, which helps combat climate change, creating canopy shade, and by their roots, water retention, protecting soil health, preventing soil erosion, and thereby helping prevent landslides, providing habitat for animals, insects, and birds, producing oxygen, improving the livability of neighborhoods, the health of inhabitants, and increasing property values, among others. Trees in Los Angeles are gravely unsatisfactorily protected. Too few trees are included as part of our protections. The rules for which arborists are mandated protections are too vague, and city departments are not working well together to implement their current protections we have in place. To that end, I have introduced an additional motion, council files are provided here, that council instruct the Urban Forestry Division to work with the Planning Department and the Department of Building and Safety to convene and consult with stakeholder groups and report back regarding recommendations for strengthening the existing protected tree ordinance, including, but not limited to, determining methods to preserve overall native tree cover and habitat areas, limiting damage to trees retained during development, and possibly adding protected trees based on circumference and species notability. Why I write to you today is that I'm truly concerned to see in the Mexican elderberry and toyon issue staff report, the Urban Forestry Department has requested that the system of cumulative measurement be eliminated from the code amendment. The intention of the motion was to add more species, but the recommendation by Urban Forestry here would, in fact, greatly reduce the number of trees that qualify for protection. The recommendation says that black walnut trees that are too small should not be considered significant or viable. This is not a scientific approach to tree management. I am extremely concerned that this recommendation would undermine its very intention to, and he underlines here, to add to our list of protected trees and not eliminate substantial numbers of trees that we currently protect. I request that you remove the entire recommendation paragraph entitled Modifies How Trunk Diameter is Measured and move forward with extending protections to the Mexican elderberry and toyon. Thank you for this opportunity to comment on these important issues. Sincerely, Councilmember Paul Corrette.
Thank you, Allison. Are you going to stay around?
Sure.
All right, thank you. All right, with that, those are the last speaker cards I have. Staff, did you want to respond to the testimony provided today? And I'm sure you have the same letters we do, so we'd be curious your take on all matters. Please proceed. Hi, Phyllis.
Yes, Phyllis Nathanson with Planning Department. Thank you very much. The first speaker, the representative from Tree People, I believe I understood that her recommendation was that trees planted as a part of a tree planting program not be required to be replaced if they're removed. And I wanted to clarify that currently the code does not require that those trees be replaced. And I'm not sure, not too clear on what else was said there, but I think that that was the main point. A lot of the speakers have spoken to the recommended change that the cumulative measure for trees and it would be applied to shrubs as well, not be removed, that it be retained. And the Planning Department's position is that we have relied on the advice of Urban Forestry, and their feedback to us has been rather strong that the cumulative measure has resulted in the protection of trees that they don't feel are significant or viable. But I would defer to them to speak for themselves if you wish to ask them further questions. And I think that's it.
Okay. Did you want to share anything?
No.
All right. So we're going to just, we have a council office who came in, and we want to give them the time because we've ended it. But please come on up, CD13, Christine Peters. Take as much time as you need, and then we'll go back to commissioner deliberations.
Thank you very much, Commission President Ambrose. It was a bit of a drive coming from a permanent supportive housing meeting at City Hall. So thank you very much for this consideration. Councilmember O'Farrell introduced this motion in October of 2013. There's been a lot of effort, a lot of discussions, a lot of different staff members throughout the Planning Department and Urban Forestry. A lot of people have retired.
Or come back.
We're very happy to have this ordinance finally being heard. However, we've heard from a lot of constituents based on the report regarding the cumulative measurement of the trunk sizes. I think that we need to drill down into that just a little bit more. Perhaps we can come to some type of compromise where we consider the height of the tree and the maintain some type of cumulative measure, because especially with the black walnut and the shrubs, the toyon and the elderberry, you are going to have very beneficial plants that will not measure 4 inches in their trunk, and therefore we would not want to lose them as a resource if they can meet other criteria, perhaps with either height or canopy size. So I think that we need to make sure we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater on this one.
Yeah.
And ask maybe Urban Forestry to talk about that a little bit, because this is always a difficult process getting trees listed to be protected, because right. There are so many parties that don't want to have to deal with any type of criteria. So we want to be sensitive to that. We want to make sure that people, when they're building, can build, but we do want to have the urban forest. So I think it's important that we ask for a little bit more explanation on that, because I think as it is right now, it's very cut and dry, and we basically will lose a lot of trees. And I think it also will impact trees that are currently protected, like the oak and the walnut and the sycamore, because they're currently being measured with cumulative. And this would, I believe, impact all of the trees on the list. So I think that's a rather drastic change for the actual tree ordinance itself, if we're going to change how all trees are measured that are protected.
Would your recommendation be that we continue this for further development, or to pass it on to council? I don't want to develop these things here with us. I would like a more robust recommendation, or we can hand off what we've done today to the council to...
I think that we can have that conversation between now and Plum and make sure that we get this fine-tuned. But I do want to make sure that the
people
who've been...
Would you rather see the action today?
I think it would be all right to act today. And I think we would like you to make some recommendations, which would be appreciated.
I'm just thoughtful that I don't want to answer some of these questions you've raised, because I don't know, I guess, how we would combine things.
Who's here from forestry?
That they would go back and work with their organizations and come back here. Not that we would develop with them in conversation, but... I think we're all saying the same thing.
Right. I think so too. And I expressed to the Community Forest Advisory Committee. I didn't hear that they were here today. But that's a council base. There 15 dedicated
tree people
who sit around and talk about this. And the motion really did come from working with them and their concerns about these plants back in 2013. So I think that between CFAC and forestry and planning, we can have that conversation between now and the time it gets scheduled for Plum.
Great.
And come up with a reasonable compromise.
Thank you. I
apologize for being late. Listen,
you're a permanent support of housing. I do want to hear from all the commissioners, but on this one, I'm inclined to continue to a meeting so that we have a more thoughtful answer to that question and not pass on something that unintentionally removes things. So, but let's hear what all the commissioners think today. And I'll start with our resident tree expert, our own tree person, Renee Dake Wilson.
I do love a tree. I think we all do. And I think that's why we're trying to do something to increase our tree canopy. It's in all of our plans. We talk about this, we're fighting for every tree. So I think we can all agree that we're all trying to make this better. And listening to our experts. So the first thing I'd like to ask, if Tim Tyson could respond to... Tim Tyson is from Urban Forestry and is part of the recommending body about the tree measurement. So I want to hear if you could explain the difference and impact of the cumulative tree measurement versus the 4-inch diameter at 4.5 feet above the ground.
Commissioners, Tim Tyson, Urban Forestry Division. And we worked diligently to go through this to add the shrubs in, and I'll go back to when George
Tim,
Gonzalez.
Would you put the microphone closer to your mouth so we can hear you better?
Is it on?
Yeah,
there we
it
go.
Is. You just need to talk right in.
Prior to me being in charge of the Urban Forestry Division, this was absolutely not going to go through. It was said to be, we're not doing this because the tree shrubs, basically, when you protect something, you're protecting it because it has endangered species. Toyon and elderberry, they occur all the way from Baja California all the way up the West Coast, all the way to Washington. However, back in 2012, they made the Toyon a native plant, and I'm a little more open-minded about protecting things and thinking along the terms of what we need to do for the future. In the last 12 years since 2006, when they changed the ordinance prior to that was 153478, and it only protected oak trees on an acre or larger, and they had to be 8 inches or greater in diameter. We brought that into 4 different species of trees in 2006, brought it down to 4 inches in diameter, and added cumulative. When you look at a shrub, which is not a tree, however, they grow very large. They are nothing but multi-stemmed shrubs. So with cumulative diameter, almost every toyon and almost every elderberry would receive protected status, and that's just not the right thing to do. You need to have something that's been there long enough to mature long enough to receive that protected status.
Can I suggest a modification?
Absolutely.
That we protect the trees with the cumulative measurement and the shrubs with the 4-inch diameter?
Yes. We can do that. I was merely trying to make this where most of the walnuts for the last 12 years, I've reviewed over 100 reports a year. I've been to over 500 locations. It's a thousands of reports, you know, 1,000 reports. Most of the walnut trees that come in on cumulative diameter, there's been photos sent to you where they have maybe a quarter inch sapling coming up out of the ground, and all from that base you've got 10 or 15 or 20 little saplings. That's what they still are sapling. They haven't become a 4-inch diameter single stem tree yet. So I was trying to think of what is the right way to protect all of the above, and if they can reach 4 inches in diameter, that means they're mature and they're worthy of the protection status. I also want to talk about the fact that we're changing what a tree expert is in here.
Tim, before you move on to the tree expert, just I want to underline just for a moment, colleagues, Renee has a very concrete solution that goes a long way towards addressing some of the concerns, and that would empower us to pass this on to council and their expertise to more finish this between, I think it goes to Plum and then council. So I think that's a very solid response. I don't know that we had any controversy around tree expert, Tim. So
yeah.
I'm pretty comfortable with the staff's recommendations. No one spoke out against that, and I want to be mindful of the efficiency of the commission. Is there something you wanted to change with the staff's recommendations?
No. What I was just referring to was when it was written incorrectly. All we're doing is rewriting that portion today. Okay.
Okay.
We're not changing anything. It was actually written incorrectly.
Okay.
Okay.
And then on the 4-to-1, we are already currently doing that 4-to-1. So that's just making it part of this.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Tim. I think that's very helpful and good. So thank you for your expertise. I think the updated definition of tree expert is helpful and will... I mean, I've worked with landscape architects, and they are not arborists, and so having a more stringent definition, I think, is very helpful. I think that the 4-to-1 replacement is good, especially with what we're proposing yesterday, with which made it out of Public Works Gang Reduction Committee as a tree in lieu fee, so that you could plant your tree replacements off-site. There's been a lot of one piece of discussion that we did not hear today that I've been hearing from CFAC and tree people and other groups is that when you are doing replacements, I didn't hear this today and I was surprised, but it goes towards the benefit of the 4-to-1 replacement is that when you're replacing a large tree, such as a big old 100-year-old oak tree that's up the street from me, that you replace that with a 4-to-1. And what a lot of interested people interested in trees are looking at is what is the carbon removing value and all the value of replacing that tree, and also looking at the expense of replacing that tree. What is the economic value? If you were to replace a 100-year-old tree, you know, it would be very expensive. And they're looking at a lot of different ways to measure what's a replacement. And we're never going, it's going to take a long time. I mean, we're talking about a living system. There is not going to be an even replacement, but by going from a 2-to-1 to 4-to-1 replacement, I think that we're going a long way to creating a system that will benefit our future mm-hmm. replacements. I think that for today, we can modify the measurement criteria as I've suggested, and with a strong suggestion that it be really worked out between now and Plum. That's a suggestion we're making. We are not experts. And even if they came back with a modification one way or the other, I really want to rely on this being worked out by people who are experts, that it's urban forestry working with CFAC, working with tree people and the other groups, the California Native Plant Society. And I believe that will be done within the process as it goes forward. I don't think that that's something that's going to be problematic. So that would be my only suggested modification, and I think it can continue.
Commissioners, any other folks wanted to speak up on this item? Okay. And staff, I assume the name change, the technical corrections to the Latin names or whatever they are on your radar, and I don't think that those are things we need to address one by one. Renee, do you want to make a motion on this item?
I would.
I have something to say.
Oh,
yeah. I
go
should
ahead.
I appreciate this. I'm a little challenged by it, to be honest. And no, I'm not an expert and would never pretend to be one in this area. But I've done some research. I've talked to a number of people who I consider experts in the area. And the Mexican elderberry and the toyon are important species, but I'm not sure why we're calling them out, to be honest. I don't understand why these are being singled out. I understand the California oak, which is something that is actually singled out by the state, by the way, with a 10-inch diameter. And I understand we've come up with others, but I'm also trying to balance the burden on small property owners who might have a lot and might want to put on, for lack of a better term, I still call them granny flats, things of that nature, and then the impact, the burden this places on them when they have to redo the landscaping in that area, the cost that all of a sudden is going to be burdened on them. For example, I think it sounds great to say a tree expert should be a certified arborist. On large projects, I can see that, but I'm sorry, for most people, even going to a licensed landscape architect who's been practicing for 4 years, that's more credentials than most people seek out. And I can tell you in my own experience, not in the city of Los Angeles, but in another city where I have had property and we were replacing an oak tree. We worked with a landscape architect from the community who was licensed, who'd been in the community for 25 years, had more experience than any other arborists who came in and consulted also on the job, to figure out the best way to deal with that. The tree had to go. It was not doing well, which is another issue. Sometimes some of these shrubs are mature, are not in good shape, and are not going to survive. And that has to be factored in also. So, a couple things. One, I think that I, with all respect to the man from Urban Forestry, I read the original ordinance. I'm the lawyer here. I read. I'm not the only one, but I read the ordinances. Okay, the ordinance, it does change it. The ordinance that's proposed by staff very carefully does change the requirements, and so that a tree expert now would no longer be a licensed landscape architect who's practiced for 4 years. They must also be a certified arborist. That is an additional credential that I would expect that it's a small percentage of licensed landscape architects have.
I would respectfully disagree.
Okay.
I know my brother is landscape architect. Yep. Some of my best friends are landscape architects. And some of them really know their trees, and some of them really do not. And if you can get a lot of landscape architecture in an urban environment is things like designing parking lots, which is, I want to have a really well-designed parking lot by a landscape architect because it means it will have trees and vegetation. But it's not someone that has the experience with our tree canopy. And when you get a real arborist to come look at your trees, they see things. I walked my property with an arborist, and they see things that I don't see and that a landscape architect doesn't see about thinning of a canopy, which means stress on a tree in a certain way. And I just really beg to differ that the experience of an arborist, a landscape architecture degree, does not provide that level of understanding.
Okay. I appreciate that, Renee. I guess some of the landscape architects I've encountered, I've seen have had much more experience and knowledge, and I've had some certified arborists who have done horrible work. So maybe there's no guarantee in any means. I mean, there's people
like
in every
lawyers.
Profession. Yeah, there's a lot of lawyers who do horrible work. I'll take that off the record. In any event, I am concerned with that change because it also does include an increased cost to the
sure.
person. And it's one thing when we are looking at commercial or multifamily use projects or larger projects, but this is not restrictive to that. This also will impact people, single family residents, okay? And it'll impact people in communities which are
sure.
not as affluent and able to hire all of these certified people. So that's something I think we need to factor in and just think about. I do agree with Renee. I think that trees, it makes sense to have that be cumulative, the trunk size. Shrubs should not be treated the same way. There are a lot of toyon and elderberry and smaller shrubs. I'm sorry, they should
vice
be cumulative,
versa.
Vice versa. There are a lot of them that are much smaller, and mm-hmm. They're great, but that doesn't mean that if you move them that you should have to deal with a 4-to-1 replacement. So those are my thoughts.
Were there other commissioners? I don't mean to cut the conversation short. Okay. I have no additional thoughts on this item. I am conflicted, but want to see it move forward, I guess. Renee, do you want to make a motion on this item?
Yeah, I would. This is Renee Dick Wilson. I'd like to approve staff's recommended actions with the associated environmental and with the technical modification as proposed by Patrick Whalen from a planning assistant in a memo to us dated March 21st. Mm-hmm. It's condition technical correction one. Just changing a little bit of language about the environmental and adding the notice of exemption that it references. Additionally, the other modification I would make is that cumulative trunk measurement shall be allowed for shrubs and 4-inch diameter at 4'6" above the ground for trees. And with a hearty suggestion that this be evaluated, the consequences of this be evaluated further moving forward. My concern about that is that.
Not in the motion.
Okay, it's not in the motion. Well, I'll leave it at that. And I am going to trust in the system, having just tried to move something about trees through the system. Man, that system is
now
hard.
I'll second the motion.
And we got Christine Peters, so it's going to happen. With that, we have a first from Renee Dick Wilson and a second from Dana Perlman. Please call for the vote, James.
Certainly. Commissioner Dick Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Perlman?
Yes.
Commissioner Cho?
Yes.
Commissioner Corsan?
Yes.
Commissioner Millman?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Commissioner Padilla Campos?
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose?
Yes.
The motion carries.
And before you all run away, I just want to read a paragraph from John's letter, because I don't know when we're going to do this, but I just, you guys should hear this. It has been a very rewarding experience to serve with you, my colleagues, formulating and advocating policies that are addressing urgently needed affordable housing for middle class and low income residents throughout our racially and economically diversified city. Our focus as a commission on prioritizing smart development that is beginning to benefit underserved communities such as South Los Angeles and updating community plans has been personally fulfilling. I thank you all for affording me the opportunity to serve our city and its 4 million residents in this capacity. John Mack. I thought that was beautiful. With that, let's adjourn this in John Mack's honor. We are adjourned. It's 12:08 p.m.